Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, the continuation of our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you would like a copy of the study guide and the study notes as they are made available each week in advance of the study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. There you can order your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and download the free notes each week. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now to continue our study, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, we are working through our Simple Gospel, Simply Yes. Grace study guide. We're in the third part of the book. It's all about freedom. So when you couple life, this new life that we have in Jesus Christ, with forgiveness that's been obtained through the redemption of Christ through Jesus, through his shed blood, when you add those two things together, you get freedom.
Yes.
Christ has set us free so that we could experience freedom, and real freedom as human beings. The stuff that our hearts deeply long for, that's imitated out there in the world by political freedom, financial freedom, some of those sort of things. But none of those can compare to the freedom that we have in Christ.
Yes.
And God uses an incredible story in the Old Testament, the Exodus, to really lay out what this freedom looks like, exactly what God did to set us free and what that means on the other side. So we were once in bondage. We were enslaved to sin and death. That's what the Bible teaches time and time again. And through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we've been set free to experience new life, a new way of being human. And it's the most exciting story that's ever been written. And as believers in Christ, we're participants. I mean, we're Yeah. taking a role in that story, not only for our own selves individually, but we're a part of that great narrative, that great rescue mission Mm-hmm. to help others go free through faith in Christ. So we're in the study guide. We're on page, it looks like 82, and we're going to start with a section called A Powerful Promise. So over the last couple of weeks, Richard, we've talked about how the people of Israel found their way to Egypt, mm-hmm. why that was a wonderful thing at the beginning that turned out to be a horrible thing for the next 400 years.
Yes.
So the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. He wound up being a pretty important man in Egypt, was put in charge of all the agriculture, was second in command. Mm-hmm. He had interpreted a dream that a drought was coming, and he sketched out a plan on how to prepare for that. And so when the drought did come, climate change was a part of the story way back then.
Yeah.
When that happened, all the surrounding countries, the people in those surrounding countries, started to pour into Egypt just to survive, to find food. And certainly Joseph's brothers were a part of that refugee program, so to speak. So 66 people, all of Joseph's brothers, including Jacob, their families, came to Egypt, and they survived. They survived that horrible drought. Then they grew in number. They grew Yes. so large in number that it just scared the weebie-jeebies right out of Pharaoh. It's like, what are we going to do with these folks?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And so they took a very mercenary approach. We're going to enslave them. We're going to rule them. We're going to rule them ruthlessly. Mm-hmm. And they did for 400 years.
Yeah.
And so the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And God had prophesied that. This wasn't a shock to him. He knew exactly what was coming, and he also had a plan for their escape, Yes. for their exodus. But that plan needed a leader, and that leader happened to be Moses. So God raised up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt to the promised land. And so that whole story is bound up in the book of Exodus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think, one of the most moving stories in human history, and it really foreshadows the greatest story of them all, our rescue from sin and death through Yes. the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So let's jump in. Moses was the man to lead the people out, but he wasn't so sure. about that role. And we're going to pick up the story in Exodus 3:6. So Moses, tell us a little bit of the backstory. How did Moses get to Midian and this place of the burning bush?
Well, he took matters into his own hands and paid a very heavy price for that. He was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was being raised in luxury, raised as part of the royal family, educated. He was going to be an important person. His whole life was laid out before him. It couldn't be any easier. And he still identified as a Hebrew. He knew who the Israelites were. He knew, he must have been told by his adoptive mother, Pharaoh's daughter, that he had been rescued and was not killed when the order had been given to kill all the babies, and that he was Israelite, and yet here he was in this special position. And so he would go out as part of his normal duties and see what was going on in the various building projects that the Israelites were involved in. And one day he saw an Egyptian taskmaster beating an Israelite half to death. And he called him off, and the guy looked at him and said no and kept beating him. And so Moses grabbed the guy and ended up killing him right there in front of those Israelites and then buried him. And he goes on about his business, doesn't say a word. A few days later, he comes up on two Israelites fighting in a completely different place. Well, obviously the story had gone through the Israelite community. And he says, why are you guys fighting? I want you to stop. And they looked at him and said, oh, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And now the whole story is out. He has to run for his life. He runs to Midian and ends up tending sheep for 40 years. I mean, going from Pharaoh's house, literally Pharaoh's house, as the up-and-coming ruler, perhaps, of all of Egypt, and he has to run away, and he's hiding in Midian, tending sheep for a guy named Jethro. I mean, it's just, there could be no more stark contrast than those two lives lived by one person.
Yes, indeed. So at 40, that's when he had to run for his life, and so 40 years later, we're picking up the story.
Yeah, he's 80 years old.
80 years old.
Still tending sheep.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of time that has passed.
Uh-huh.
He's tending sheep. He's out there. He's there's this bush. It starts to burn, and he hears the voice of God. And God said to draw near, but when you do, take off your sandals because this is holy ground. So in Exodus 3:6, we find out how God actually introduces himself to Moses. So in Exodus 3:6, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So how did God introduce himself to Moses?
As the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. These are the three, is the pantheon of Israel, right? These are the three guys to whom the promise of the Messiah was given. And now this bush speaks to him and says, no, this isn't a bush, this is God. And I'm the God of those three guys. I think I'd hide my face too.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's how Israel, I mean, that's how Moses responded.
Yeah.
And that's our next question in the study guide. And I think that's probably how all of us, as you said, would respond in exactly the same way. Until we know we're clean before God, until we know that our sins have been taken away once and for all, we're going to hide in shame. But once we know, that's when we have the confidence to turn toward him and really enjoy that relationship full on. So Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, why is it significant, Richard, that God identified himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Those were the patriarchs, as you said, the pantheon of leaders within the Israelite community. But there was also a promise that was given to Abraham, and then it was carried. So tell us a little bit about that promise and how this encounter with Moses was going to be a part of moving that promise forward.
Okay. So there were several promises given to Abraham, but the single most important promise was through your seed, the entire world will be blessed. Not just Abraham's family, but the entire world. So what God had promised through the line of Abraham was nothing less than Jesus himself. And so God had identified this family to become a people group, to become a nation, to serve as the conduit through whom the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come. And he renewed that promise to Isaac and to Jacob, and now he's telling Moses that he wants Moses to provide a particular kind of leadership so that the children of Israel can begin to fulfill their destiny, can be taken back to the promised land. That was another one of the promises, is that the land where Israel was going to form this nation was promised to them, even though a bunch of other people lived there. And so it was in God's timing, it was time to bring those people out and take them to the promised land, and he wanted Moses to be that guy.
So Moses was basically a servant to shepherd
Absolutely.
That promise forward.
Yes.
He wasn't really a part of that promise.
No, God did not repeat that promise to Moses. He
right.
did not repeat it to Moses.
Right.
He said, Moses, I need you to do this for me. So he was the servant in the house, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, as opposed to Jesus, who was the builder
Absolutely.
Of the house.
And that's the key point.
Yes.
Is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were promise bearers. They were to carry that forward. It was going to come through him. Moses was simply coming alongside to serve
Yes.
in moving that promise forward
Correct.
Through the people of Israel,
Yes.
getting them to the promised land, setting up all of that so that Messiah could come
Mm-hmm.
at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
So we also have to ask the question, you know, if God appears in a burning bush, why did he come down at this particular point in time? And Exodus 3:8, just two verses later, gives us that answer. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites. A lot of sites there.
A lot of sites.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But he came down to execute a rescue mission.
Absolutely.
That's why God came down, and Moses was going to be a part of that great rescue mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important word for us to really grasp and to really understand, because the gospel message really is a rescue mission, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That we have been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son, whom God loves. That's the rescue mission that this is really foretelling. So God comes down to rescue his people. And Moses, like I said, is a little bit concerned because he's God's choice, as Exodus 3:10 says.
Yeah.
And so Moses wants to know, what should I say? I mean, how is this all going to work? And so Moses said to God in verse 11 of chapter 3, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He knows his background. He knows his backstory.
Oh.
He knows his credentials.
Sure. A death sentence awaits him.
That's right.
They figure out who he is.
That's exactly right. So he doesn't feel qualified for the task.
Yes, but he also misses the point, and then we'll get to that. But he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? I don't think that God actually asked him to do that. I am sending you to bring my people. He didn't say, I want you to go and find those people and bring them. So it's an important point. And God's got such an amazing way of answering his question.
Yes, indeed.
I love this.
It is. It really is powerful. That's why this is such a powerful promise. So you're exactly right. God didn't tell Moses to go and do it. We had just read, just, you know, in verse 8 of chapter 3,
yeah.
I have come down to
yes.
rescue my people. So this was a mission that God was going to accomplish. This was something that was on his shoulders, and it was going to take his power to make it happen.
Yes.
And again, Moses was just going to be a participant in that story. Mind you, a very large participant
oh, yeah.
as far as the leader of uh-huh. the Israelites, but it still was God's handiwork. it was still God's plan, and it was still up to him to execute it, and to execute it in a way that when you look at it, you would know that only God could bring this about. So Moses is not confident that God has made the right choice. So how did God clear away Moses' doubts? And we read about this in Exodus 3:12. And I think this is just one of the most awesome verses in the entire Word of God. And God said, "I will be with you."
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, talk about a powerful motivator, an infusion of hope. And that's what hope is a powerful motivator for us in day-to-day life. Well, here's what that motivation is. Here's what that hope is. The fact that God is going to be with Moses every step of the way to rescue his people. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So let's take a quick break right there. This is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome you to the broadcast today. We are teaching out of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. It is the companion study guide to my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a book that has been divided up into three parts, life, forgiveness, and freedom. We're in the freedom aspect of this particular book, and it's really the destination place for all of us who have come to know Christ Jesus to really stand firm in that freedom and experience it to the full. And if you would like to follow along with us and have yet to purchase your copy, it is available at basicgospel.net. Just go to basicgospel.net to the store, and you will find both of these resources right there, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. I think we have bound them together for one price. So take advantage of that. Get this. I think you will really enjoy the book. It is filled with lots of personal stories, a lot of wonderful illustrations, and it's written in a very friendly, conversational way. So I think you will enjoy that. I think you will identify with a lot of the stories, with a lot of the illustrations, and I think paired with all of the scriptures that are in there, you're going to really see kind of a freshness as far as this gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. You will embrace a new way of living out your freedom in Christ Jesus. So God is going to be with his people, and he is going to be with Moses, and that is the great hope. And so Moses is still a little reticent at this point, and he says, okay, what should I tell the people? Who should I say has sent me to do this? And what did God say to Moses in verse 14?
God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you."
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Now, why is that important? And how has that name been carried through all the way into the New Testament, even with Jesus Christ?
Well, first of all, the name is in the constant present tense. So this is God saying, I live in eternity. I can step into time at any point I want and whenever I want. Right now I'm here talking to you through the burning bush. And then if you move ahead into the Gospels, and Jesus is having one of his many conversations where they're trying to trap him, and you know, they said, well, you know, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, notice the past tense, I am. And so Jesus himself took this very name on to describe himself and his mission to the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders.
Yeah. And then we see a whole series of statements in the Gospel of John known as the great I ams. Mm-hmm. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am. And all of them start with that same phrase. So when we think of God in this particular context, we must think of Jesus in the same way, because the same name is applicable to both. And it was a name of such holiness and sacredness to the Israelites that they never said it.
Yes.
And even in Jewish literature today, when the word God, which would be representative of this name, I Am, Yahweh, and they will spell it G-D. Why? Because it's so sacred.
It's too holy.
It is way too holy. And that's who was sending Moses to the people. Now, let's stop here just for a moment and kind of retrace where we are. So the Israelites' world was about to be rocked. Okay.
Yeah.
So all they knew was the Egyptian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there wasn't much worship of the one true God in Israel, in Egypt.
Not at all.
As a matter of fact, the Egyptians worshipped all kinds of gods of their own imagination, their own making.
Yes.
Gods that really didn't exist, but gods that were given power because of the people bowing down and worshiping these very things.
Yes, and the very highest God was Pharaoh himself.
Yes, indeed. So God, the one true God, the real God, the only God,
yes,
is going to be with Moses. He's going to come on the scene, and there's going to be an incredible sequence of plagues that pour forth through a period of time. And all of those things were symbolic of God crushing the powers of the Egyptian gods.
Yes.
Including the power of Pharaoh.
Yes.
Why? Because there's only one God to worship. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that tell us about our way of life before knowing Christ? We were subject to the powers of darkness.
Yes.
And the cross is that crushing blow to all of those powers. It is the ultimate and absolute defeat of all of those things that held us captive. And when we understand that, we can really understand our freedom. I mean, we come into this world and we just see what's right around us, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of life for us. But we're not really aware of the powers of darkness that have us enchained, in chains, that are keeping us in bondage. And we just walk around along in life just, you know, happy as could be, thinking everything's okay. And then a point in time, it hits us and we realize, hey, it's not okay.
Well, it's a homely example to tie this in. If you grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, you could say that I understand cold weather. I mean, you've got some idea. Well, let's say you moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, like my son did, my son and his wife. Now they're experiencing a completely different kind of weather. There was no preparation for that in Dallas-Fort Worth. Same thing with Israel. Same thing with us.
Right.
All we know is this slavery. God talks about freedom, and we go, oh, sure.
Yeah.
And then we step into freedom, and if it's not God who's bringing that freedom, it's just more slavery.
Right. So God's about to rock the world of the Israelites. He was about to sever them from the only life they had ever known. And every step of the way, every step moving
every
forward
step.
Was going to be a step into the unknown. Granted, they wanted to be free, but there was only one way. I Am Who I Am would have to lead the charge. He was their hope.
Yes.
And the same is true for us, as Paul wrote in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So every step that we take in this newfound freedom in Christ Jesus is really a step into the unknown, mm-hmm. but we can take it without fear, with total confidence, with total assurance. Why? Because I Am Who I Am is right there with us. And if he is leading us to take that step, we can know it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
That's what this story is all about, that God is in the center of our lives, and he is breaking the forces that have bound us and has broken those forces to set us free. And in this freedom, he is leading the way.
Yeah.
That's the good news of the gospel. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer and the entire Basic Gospel ministry team. We wish you a very warm and happy weekend. We'll see you Monday for another live edition.